The capital of aching feet. Whatever Burgos was to the medieval pilgrim, to me it will always be the capital of aching feet. Nowhere have I observed so many pilgrims looking quite so medieval, hobbling about on chafed and bleeding feet, their blisters pierced and threaded, their knees and ankles trussed. On my first Camino, walking hurt. It hurt most at the beginning and the end of the day, when I picked my way around the refuges with the winces and grimaces of a mime walking on thumbtacks, clambering up and down ladders to top bunks, when the whole weight of my body fell on one narrow band of foot, was torture. Each morning's first few hundred steps were an act of faith, till gradually my tendons loosened up. I had a variety of pains, my favorite being the sensation of a large pebble lodged inside my foot, just behind the toes. A well-meaning pilgrim assured me that a friend of hers had the same thing, and it would need to be operated on. I'd probably be laid up for months. I thanked her for the information. I'd always seen myself as a walker, so I was not prepared for pain. If I had expected the Camino to be a test in any way, it was emotionally. Would I be able to stick with it? As things turned out, this was the least of my problems. From my first step, my commitment to finishing was never in doubt. Instead, it was my body that threatened to betray me. I was reluctant to moderate my demands on my legs, feeling that all they needed was a little toughening up. I guess I felt ennobled, too, by my daily suffering. I was being a good pilgrim, stoic, single-minded, impervious to discomfort. In the end, I overdid it. For months after the Camino was over, my first steps every day made me wince. But they also made me smile. "Ah, Camino," I would say. 5 years ago in Burgos, I spent the night listening to Karen, the Californian woman in the next bunk, who had warned me that I had better be a quiet sleeper, as she gave a master class in snoring. I had finally succumbed to sheer exhaustion when I felt two icy wet hands gripping my forearm. Opening my eyes, I saw Karen's face hovering inches in front of mine in the half-light of dawn. "Bob," she whispered, "there's a Canadian film crew outside. They want to talk to you." "Your hands are freezing."
"I'm sorry, there's no hot water. Listen, I told them you'd come right away."
I pulled the sheets over my head, and Karen had the good sense to leave me alone. But before long, it was John Kennedy from Long Island who was shaking the daylights into me.
"Bob, Bob, there's a film crew from Canada outside."
Great. Now Karen had everyone in on the game. "John," I said, "could you do me a favor and..." I went back into a doze, but from the babble of voices outside, one word kept poking up its head. "Canada, Canada, Canada." Reminding myself that this was the Camino, where anything was probable, I ventured down from my cozy bunk, wincing with every step, and peered outside. A film crew was camped on the lawn. "Are you the Canadian? Sorry to get you up so early, but we're doing this documentary on pilgrimages, and we heard there was a Canadian here." The show was being produced under the auspices of the Anglican Church of Canada. Affable, bearded Ben Lockridge, renegade priest and founder of Toronto's Little Company of Pilgrims, had come along in a consulting role. I asked the interviewer if they could wait while I splashed some water on my face. "That's okay," she said. "You look more like a pilgrim this way." Apparently pilgrims looked decrepit. They were seeing the Camino in reverse, working backwards from Santiago. "Oh, it was amazing talking to people there," the interviewer told me. "Their emotions were so raw. It was like they'd just been scalded." I liked that word. I wondered if I would look scalded when I got to Santiago. The camera ran for 10 minutes or so as they tried to coax something usable out of me. I didn't have much to offer at that hour, though a couple of my banalities made the final cut. I'm identified in the video as Canadian Pilgrim. Nice epitaph. The one interesting thing I had to say, at least in my opinion, didn't make the cut. I'm talking about the part when the interviewer leaned towards me, lowered her voice so the viewer would know that this was a moment, and said, This must be a very spiritual experience for you." My response came so fast it surprised even me. "No," I said, "it's a very physical experience." She looked disappointed, but what could I say? It wasn't my spirit that was doing the walking, it was my feet, and my feet hurt. Now, I'm not saying that the Camino was all pain, but it was all, or mostly, sensation. Heat, weariness, pain, thirst, not to extremes, but beyond what my body was used to. And then, relief. The rest in the shade, the cool drink, the breeze that sprang up from nowhere, the sting in the mouth of sheep cheese, the gasp as I plunged my face into a cold fountain. If there had been anything spiritual about my Camino to that point, it had entered through the senses, the cessation of discomfort, and with it, the unfocused reflex of gratefulness, that impulse to give thanks, even when it was not clear to whom. And maybe that's where spirituality begins.